This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 17.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey there, Alex Pardo with another Flip Empire Q&A show. And first off, just a little bit of housekeeping before we get into the meat of this Q&A show, which I think you're really going to enjoy and get some value from. Really want to thank you guys and appreciate for sending comments. If you just go to flipempire.com/question, if you haven't had a chance to submit any questions yet, I want to encourage you to do so, so that I can feature it on an upcoming show. Thank you to those that have taken the time to record a quick question and send it my way. If I haven't gotten to it yet, I will get to it, especially if it's something that continues to come up over and over, like the topic of today's show, which is systems and automation. And you know, that's, it used to be a buzzword, and I don't think it is, because to a certain degree, it's everybody's out there preaching the importance of systems and having standard operating procedures, and for good reason, because if you want to run a successful business, whether it's wholesaling, fixing and flipping, just any type of not only real estate investing business, but any business in general, you must have systems in place. Without systems, if it's just reliant on you, then it's not scalable. If it's not scalable, it's not sellable. If it's not sellable, ultimately what you have is really just maybe a high paying job. And for some, you don't even have a high paying job. It's just a job, right? So it's critical that you take the time if not on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, carve out some time to get yourself out of the business and start working on creating these systems so that you can replace yourself. Okay. And systems are not just tools, you know, and software, you know, human resources, people are systems, right? So getting certain people in your place, and you guys know the importance. I've talked about building a team. And if you haven't, you can check out some of the previous episodes on that. But really what I want to try to target today is, everybody understands the importance of having systems in your business, but I don't think a lot of people talk about, well, what does that actually look like, right? So how do you go about and create a system? And that's really what I want to tackle today. And if you guys have any interest in this and you want me to do a further deep dive on a masterclass, there's a gentleman that I can reach out to him, and I know he's just an absolute ninja when it comes to creating and documenting standard operating procedures and just systems. So if you guys want me to do a further deep dive on a masterclass as it relates to systems, please let me know, send in some comments, shoot me a few messages, and I will try to make that happen for you. So, all right. So first off, what's step one? Okay. We understand the importance of systems. We want to replace ourselves within our own business, whether it be with a tool or whether it be with people that run these tools. How do we go about actually doing this? So the first thing, and this is based on my experience, there's no, you know, that saying there's a million ways to kind of skin a cat. I think the same applies here. I'm not saying that the way I'm doing it is the best way. It's what I have found works well for me. So feel free to copy it if you so wish. So having said that, what I like to do in our business is I'm going to outline the various categories and subcategories of my business. So take, for example, marketing. You know, marketing is one big category. Sales is one big category. Acquisitions, finance. So take all these big categories, right? So you can even jumble them up, like operations is a huge category. And then take the subcategories. And then once you've outlined the skeleton of what, you know, the main categories and the subcategories are, you want to create a list of everything within those subcategories. So take, for example, marketing. You know, you have offline marketing and you have online marketing. Okay, so with your offline marketing, you have direct mail, you have networking, you have bandit signs. So, you know, post-it notes. Think about all the things that you do in your business or that you plan on doing, and document those. Actually write them out, okay? And then the same thing with online, you know, so you have Craigslist and all the different third-party sites. You have SEO, PPC, you know, a lead generation service, which I've talked about in the past. So document all these things. And then once you have this document with all these different categories, and, you know, it's important that you're very specific, but you don't want to go crazy, right? So like, you know, for example, TV commercials, if you're just starting out, no need to start documenting those things, because you, chances are you're not going to be getting to that type of marketing and those marketing channels anytime soon. But if you just want to have a really good high level overview, start with the things that you're actually doing in your business or the things that you plan on doing, you know, in the immediate future. And then once you do that, you want to basically start writing down. There's two ways you can approach this. Number one is you can get a screen capture service. Like if you're on a Mac, you can use ScreenFlow. So I think if you go to ScreenFlow.com, Snagit.com is another great tool for $49.50. It's a fantastic tool that I highly recommend you have if you want to create systems, because not only can you record your screen, but you know, you can use arrows and call outs and circles and boxes. And when you're documenting these procedures, these standard operating procedures, it's critical that you make it so that a 13-year-old could go through it and perform the task. You know, that famous example in Michael Gerber's E-Myth about, you know, McDonald's, right? Or some of these successful fast food chains is, why does the food taste the same no matter where you go? It's because it's a system. There's a certain way to make the burgers. There's a certain way to make the fries. And so, you know, I don't eat fast food, but I'm sure if you go into a McDonald's, you know, you probably have 15, 16-year-olds behind the register. And it's because everything is broken down into a system. So you need to try to think about your business the same exact way. So what we like to do is we'll take something that we want to do, for example, ordering a direct mail campaign, and we'll actually record a video of us going through that exact process of ordering the direct mail online. Literally every single step involved in the process. And then with Snagit, you know, you can click a button and it gets uploaded to your Google Drive within a minute or two, depending on how big the file is. It can get uploaded to your Dropbox. You can grab a quick link and then send that over to our virtual assistant. And our virtual assistant's responsibility here is to watch that video and document everything in an actual Word doc, in a standard operating procedure. And she understands that her goal is, with these SOPs, you want to make them in bullet point format. So we always start our standard operating procedure by saying, okay, what's the goal and objective of this task, right? So we give like a high level 30,000 foot view of what we're looking to accomplish here and why. And then we get into actual bullet points and screenshots of going through and performing the task. Now, it's important that you just don't rely on video, because this is a mistake that we've made in the past. You know, if you create a video and then a month later, let's say you're creating a, you know, a video on how to send out your direct mail with your fulfillment house, and all of a sudden now your fulfillment house changes their web design, right? And things are just different. Chances are whoever you have fulfilling that task can figure it out. But what I found is that if you just rely on video, things are going to constantly be changing and you're going to have to be in update mode every so often. And we've actually made the mistake that, you know, we have certain SOPs that are 1 or 2 years old that we know need updating. So we always like to have not only a video, but also have an actual document. And then we have it in Word and PDF. And we have it in Word so that we can quickly make edits and changes if need be. So then once you create this video, send it to your virtual assistant if you have one. If not, you can go to Fiverr.com. You pay $5-$10 maybe, and you can have somebody watch this video and create an actual standard operating procedure. And the feedback I would give you that you want to tell them, okay, the deliverables, is that you want it to be in bullet point format. You know, when we first got started, our virtual assistant would send us over, like, it looked like a blog post or a book with all these paragraphs of how to do this. And I was like, no. You want to do this in an actual bullet point format, you know, like maybe 5 to 10 words per bullet point. And you want it so that there's screenshots and arrows and call outs so that, you know, again, if a 13-year-old picks up this Word document, they understand how to perform this task. And once you have that, you want to organize all of these standard operating procedures and videos in a certain location. So we created an app in Podio, and then that app at the top has the title, of the SOP, and then there's a link to the video, and then there's an attachment with the actual PDF and Word doc SOP, and then there's like a summary box explaining what it is. There's a date field that says, okay, when was this SOP created? When was it last updated? And then what I encourage you to do that, honestly, in our business, we have to do a better job of, I would say every 3 months, you want to go back and take inventory and stock of all of the SOPs you've created and seeing what needs updated. Because I guarantee you, if you just kind of let it go by the wayside, you know, within 6 months, a year, you're going to look back at some of your SOPs and you're going to be like, yeah, this process changed, or we're no longer doing this. So keep on top of your SOPs and keep stock of it, because, you know, once you bring a team member on board, or if you have any type of turnover, it's important that you know exactly where to find whatever SOP you're looking for. And you want to make sure that, you know, whatever tool or system or program you use to organize all of your SOPs, do it by category. You know, so we set it up so that, you know, with a click of a button, we have a saved view and we can pull up all of the acquisitions manager SOPs, okay? And we can pull up all of the virtual assistant SOPs, all of the sales manager SOPs, the transaction coordinator SOPs. And I'm not saying this to overwhelm you. If you know you need to create systems and you haven't actually started doing them, just understand that this is something that's going to be developed and done over time. What I would have you do, and to end this Q&A show, is have a goal of creating one SOP per week. Just focus on one. That's all you got to do. So, you know, start by writing down what it is that you do on a daily basis, and then figure out, okay, from this list, A, what is just not a good use of my time? And B, what do I not enjoy doing? And what can I outsource to someone else? You know, you always want to be thinking, how can I remove myself from this process? One of the things that I did, you know, is I was doing my to-do list up until not too long ago, and I finally created a video and an SOP so that my personal assistant can have my to-do list ready for me every day when I wake up. It's ready to go, and I know what I got to do. I know what I got to tackle. It's already prioritized. So think about, you constantly want to be thinking about, what am I currently doing that I can get off my plate? And then that's what's going to free you up to work on the business and not necessarily in the business. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. If you have any questions or comments, or if you want me to do more of a deep dive on a masterclass in this topic, definitely let me know, comment, send in some questions, let me know your thoughts. And if there's any way that we can improve not only this Q&A show, but the masterclass, I want to hear from you. Let me know your thoughts, what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy, because, you know, my goal is to bring you as much value as possible. I'm constantly striving to deliver for you. So let me know what you like, what's working and what's not working. And I'll do my best to, you know, to take those suggestions and make modifications from there. So really look forward to having you on the next masterclass and the next Q&A show here on the Flip Empire Show. And I appreciate you listening in. Talk to you soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.